The first reading for today is from Romans chapter 15, verses 4 to 13. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among us yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name. And it is again says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading comes from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight path for him. John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt round his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to where he was baptizing, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Lord, open your word to our hearts and our hearts to your word. Amen. It's been enormously encouraging reading the stories of those who are going to be baptized and confirmed. Thank you for sharing your testimonies. I can't imagine what it was like to be baptized by John the Baptist and what sort of stories were shared as people came to the water and what sort of thing they said afterwards. But I can imagine it was a very important moment in people's lives. And I hope that that's going to be the case for you today, because this is such a significant event and so important for understanding who Christ is, who we are as Christians and what our mission is in the world. I'd like to focus on one verse from our first reading from Romans. It's verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to focus on hope to remind us all that the God that we believe in is the God of hope, and that we are called to overflow with hope by the power of the Spirit. And to suggest, therefore, that really to be baptized is to be baptized into that hope. To be confirmed is to be confirmed in that hope. And what a good theme this is anyway, because this is Advent, when we think about hope above all things. I wonder if, like me, you've been reflecting on why Nelson Mandela has been so important in our contemporary world, and why we've seen such a lot of interest shown in him over the last few days. It's not just that our media takes hold of local events and turns them into global events. There's something else going on with Nelson Mandela. And I think that one of the things he has brought to focus for so many people is the reality of hope. In a situation which was totally hopeless, one man made that much difference that he became the source of hope for other people. You only have to slightly reread some of those verses that have been applied to Christ to think about the implications of what Mandela did. The readings from Romans talked about Jesus being a servant to the Gentiles that they might be included in the wider hope. But for Mandela to become the servant of the whites that they might be included in the new South Africa is why he became such an important figure. It took him many years to turn around and to discover the significance of what it would mean to learn forgiveness, to long for reconciliation, and to realize that armed conflict was simply not going to be the way in which hope would be brought to South Africa. And in order to make that journey and to turn around, to be converted, he needed the help of others. And he regularly took communion and regularly explored what it would mean to have a spirituality that was rooted in God. We are called to a life of hope. And I want to suggest that that's a calling which has a prophetic shape. It is out of a prophetic hope that the new world comes. It's out of a prophetic hope that Jesus ministered. And it was out of a prophetic hope that he was expected. Jesus is primarily best understood, I want to suggest to you, as the prophet of hope. As the prophet who fulfilled all prophecies. As the prophet who is the very word of God and speaks to us today out of his own ministry of having become priest and king. He still speaks as prophet to us today, saying, I am the truth. Walk by my way. Live in the hope that I will come again. I am the prophet. I am the very word of God. And it's into that calling that as Christians we are invited to participate and become prophets ourselves. We are called to the prophethood of all believers. And what's happening today is that you who are being baptized and confirmed are being baptized and confirmed as Jesus' prophets into his prophetic life, into his way of living and having hope and of being the hope of others. It was Isaiah who first pointed the way in that all-encompassing perspective on what hope would mean, to the fact that there would one day be somebody who would fulfill all the longings that this hope implied. Isaiah was one of the three great prophets around the exile. And it's to Isaiah that Paul, writing in Romans, turns when he wants to bring his longings and hopes to a conclusion, and he refers to the root of Jesse becoming for the Gentiles the sign, the symbol of the very Lordship of God. For us to understand the significance of this, we must remember what being in exile was like, and what losing your homeland, losing your temple, losing the way of life that the law expressed implied. It meant the total destruction of everything that you valued. And yet, speaking into that context, prophets of hope like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel spoke the word of God. It is into our situation that the very word of God speaks himself to us as the prophet of hope, the one and only word of God, who brings hope to us, whatever our situation, however challenging it may be, whatever it may be like, even an exile, there is hope. Hope not just for those of us who have come to faith in Christ, but hope for all peoples throughout the world. Hope is no abstract idea. It's a lived discovery in the midst of exile. That's how real it is. That's how wonderful it is. And it's out of that wonder that, of course, at this time of year, we rejoice in our Advent hope in Christ, and why Handel is such a popular musician. Handel's Messiah reminds us of that extraordinary hope that Jesus was bringing to Israel and bringing us to us all. And the good and great Mr. Handel has given us a wonderful repertoire of music in which to celebrate the hope we have in Christ. And the reason why Handel is so filled with this joy is simply that he's connected to Jesus. Mr. Handel's times were not good ones, and yet he had hope because of Christ. And it's that sense of knowing and believing that things can be better, knowing and believing that things have been made better, that gives us that sense that there can be a before and an after. Before you are baptized, you are dead in your sins. After, you have risen with Christ. Before you are filled with the Spirit, you don't know that hope that can fill you to the very fullness. And yet with the fullness of the Spirit, you can overflow with hope. The before and after is lived through. And that's the challenge of our Christian life. We have to live through the exile in the hope that we've been given in Christ and by the Spirit. The root of Jesse reference is therefore a very important one, because it was in the midst of challenges that a young boy was anointed by an old man to be the new king of Israel. And it's that reference to the anointing of a young man that the Gospels pick up when they record the baptism of Jesus, the anointing of a young man with the Holy Spirit to be the Messiah, who is anointed with the very Spirit of God to become our King Messiah, and to bring the power of his mission into our lives. The root of Jesse reference is a reference, of course, to Jesse, the father of David. And the longing that we have and the hope that we have is this King Jesus, our new King David, is the one who has been anointed by the Spirit and who shares that Spirit with us. And if you dig back into Isaiah 11, where the reference comes from, you will find that the words used of the expected Messiah, of this root of Jesse, are the words that I will be using later on to talk about the gift of the Spirit on those who will be confirmed. And the words used first in expectation of the Messiah, the Spirit being upon you, the Spirit of wisdom and counsel, the Spirit of peace, and all those gifts that we expect from the Spirit, is the same words that are used that I will pray over the candidates to be confirmed. Our hope is bound into the very hope of Israel, the very hope that Jesus is himself, the very hope that the Holy Spirit brings to us. Friends, we cannot separate the journey of Israel, the story of Jesus, from our own journey today. We are bound into it. And this time of year in Advent is a time to rejoice in our history and to rejoice in our future. I've laboured this point a little because this is my fear, that sometimes we forget these things, that sometimes we forget the centrality of Christ and the power of the Spirit, that sometimes we actually believe our own Christian culture rather than the very roots of our faith. That sometimes we go along with the church that we're part of, with the Christian culture that's out there, forgetting that there has to be a facing of the challenge of exile in which hope is realized. I don't want to be alarmist, but friends, I think we are beginning to see the challenges of exile in our culture. And if we aren't aware of where the roots of hope lie, we will find ourselves drifting away from the center of our faith and from the only power that can keep us focused in Christ, the Holy Spirit himself. If you find yourself preferring a personal and private faith, a Sunday-type community faith that is good with Christians, but that you cannot live either of those lives in your public faith, the exile has already begun. There is no way of avoiding prophetic global citizenship if you belong to Christ. And those who are being baptized and confirmed today, be clear, following Jesus is going to require you to stand for Christ. And in the years to come, I cannot but help see that we are facing cultural exile as Christians in the Western context. We will need to go deeper into this hope. We will need to dig deep into Isaiah 11 and all those passages where hope in exile is discovered if we are to know what following Christ means. To be a prophet, to follow the prophetic mission of Jesus, is not about private and personal faith or even faith amongst Christians. It is to stand for Christ in public for those things that will transform this world, because that is what he is doing. Karl Barth, reflecting on the nature of this faith, says that we need to interpret God's yes through his no and his no through his yes. There is a way of living that is called the Christian life, in which God says no to us, and we need to understand that that is his yes. Things that we must let go of, things that in turning to Christ we know to be part of a life that is now past. And that's how we hear his yes. On the other hand, we also, in hearing his yes, need to understand that we say no to other things as well, but that we are primarily yes people who have something to offer in the public life, something that will transform the life around us. I don't know whether you read popes much, and I mean by that the Catholic popes. Have you read much that they've written? Well, I suggest you read the new one, because he is a very interesting man. And this is a yes pope. He's got some wonderful things to say. He's got a wonderful way of living. And his latest piece of writing, which has got a Latin name, but is meant for everybody, is a great read if you want to understand the nature of this life. Evangelii Gaudium means joy of the Gospels. And it's about the joy of living this life. It's about being yes people who understand what the no also means. It's about being the yes people who will transform the life around them because they understand what the joy of this hope is all about. And section 208, and there are many sections in his latest little book, says this: I am interested only in helping those who are enthralled to an individualistic, indifferent, and self-centered mentality to be freed from those unworthy chains and to attain a way of living and thinking which is more humane, noble, and fruitful, and which will bring dignity to their presence on this earth. That's our new pope, and I say our, because he can belong to us all. This new pope's got life. He's got joy. He's got a vision for how the world might be. He understands that in order to say yes, you've got to say no. And he understands the power of no being included in the yes to life. We are in very new times that might include an exile, but could also include an extraordinarily new expression of the public dimension of our faith. Being baptized and confirmed into this faith means that you become part of what this new pope has expressed for many of us. Something more humane, more noble, more fruitful, a new dignity of living on this earth and for this earth. I hope you don't mind me mentioning the Pope. I think he's great. Absolutely great. And then lastly, one other Latin word. Seculum. Ever heard of it? It's the root word for secular. But seculum tells us about the nature of hope. Seculum means the provisional time. The provisional time that we are in is the time that God has given us to know the power of the Spirit and to live the mission of Jesus, that we can long and live for all that the kingdom of God will be when Jesus returns. Seculum is not secularity. It's not giving in to the fact that we can't yet see the whole kingdom, that we haven't yet understood what the return of Christ fully means. It means living with that provisional sense that there is more to come, that the hope of Jesus will one day be fully expressed when the glory of God will cover the seas. Seculum is that interim period when we believe as Christians that the city of God will one day be the very cities that we currently participate in. Basingstoke can be included in Jerusalem, the new one. Why not? Can we not have a hope, be it ever so provisional at the moment, that the kingdom of God could catch up and include Basingstoke and become part of the great city of God, which will be the new Jerusalem? Why should Basingstoke be secular instead of part of the seculum? Friends, have you got hope that takes you into your city, that means that you would like to see your city in a new way? as the provisional part of the kingdom of God, which is the very city of God, the New Jerusalem. Does your hope carry you into that? It should. And may you know the power of the Spirit to take you into that way of expressing your faith. Christians are beacons of the provisionality of the time that we're in, and of those who point towards the coming of Christ. Advent is a reminder not only of the first coming of Christ, but of his second coming, when all things will be taken up and made new in him. Those being baptized and confirmed, this is a great day to become part of that new city, to become part of the provisional expression of the kingdom here that will one day be fully revealed when Christ returns. Popes, Latin, I don't know. And if you're here today, not quite sure what all this is about, there is a chance to come to Christ and to know who he is and to enter into his life. For those who don't believe that to know that sin is good news, it is. Because to know that there is such a thing as sin and evil is a great burden lifted, because it makes sense of the mess, the misunderstanding, and the struggle. But to know that somebody has died for that and made it different and brought a new world is to discover the heart of baptism. Is to know that that power of sin and evil does not bind us. It's been broken. And that the gift of the Holy Spirit in the new life that Christ offers is available here today. And the testimony of those who will be baptized and confirmed is that that is true in their lives. And I've read the testimonies. Thank you so much. You're brave, you're bold. May God bless you as you go on living for him in that way. Amen.